Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome on to the GAA Hour with me, Darren Sullivan. I'm delighted to be joined by two happy men, Dublin's Barry Cahill and a sun-kissed Finian Henley from Galway. How are the boys?
Good, Darren.
All good. Yeah, all good. I'm sure you're happy yourself.
Ah, sure, look, we're all right. No train issues today, made it up safe and sound. And Kerry won yesterday, plodding along. But look, it's all about Chino, to be fair. It's all about the Dubs, it's all about Galway. But we'll start with you, Finian. Galway, Armagh, game of the weekend, had everything. Scores, fighting, rain, sun, everything.
Penalties.
Yeah.
Yeah, game of the season, I'd say, so far. Yeah, one of the best games we've seen in a while. Yeah, it was unbelievable, really. It had everything. And not often we get to say it had everything, and I know we'll get into the penalties and all that sort of stuff, but it had everything. Sending offs, it had, borderline, the row obviously was in it, you know, which we'll get into as well, but some of the scores, like free from Rian O'Neill was just unbelievable. Yeah. Like, you know, I think it was further out than Dean Rocks against.
It would have been, yeah.
But look, it had everything. It was a classic. It's when two teams of a similar standard get together, they can serve that up. And there was so much at stake for both teams to get to the semi final because, you know, both teams don't get to semi finals that often. Yeah. So the carrot was huge. And look, you know, we nearly threw it away in the end, but I think we were the better team for large parts of the game and we deserved it.
Yeah, Barry, it definitely lived up to the billing, but it was a cagey enough start. There was a bit of feeling each other out.
I think in the lead up to the game during the week, I think everyone felt that it was very much a 50-50 game. Mm. Two well-matched teams and two sets of very good forwards. But yeah, it was a little bit slow in the first half to get things going. But, Galway got back into it just before half time. But overall, I agree with Finian. I think they were the better team. Obviously, they threw away that 6-7 point lead as he moved into injury time. And I know Shane Walsh and the goalkeeper, I think, Gleeson, if Galway hadn't got over the line yesterday, it would have been a very long 6-7 months for the rest of the year ahead of next year. But for their sake, they obviously came good in the penalty shootout.
Yeah, and Galway put the pressure on, I suppose, when the red card came. McCabe. Big hit. Was it a red card for you?
I think it was, yeah. I think 100% it was a hit. Or it was a red card. It was just a little bit dangerous, a little bit high, and I don't think anyone can argue otherwise. I just think going for those big hits at senior inter-county level nowadays just isn't worth it, you know, trying to nail a guy like that shoulder to shoulder, because if you're anyway off, and you only have to be 1 or 2% off, either too early or too late, catching them high like that. I think it was a deserved red card, and I think David Goldrick got that 100% right.
It's fine margins though, as well. Like Dahi Burke has been all over the internet because he was on the positive side. He met, I forget who it was, but obviously he was going around, you know, online all week about, you know, how great it was, and you know, it was very, as Barry says, very close, you know, to being a hero of a shot or to getting a red card and absolutely damaging someone. So look, McCabe was late, you know. Tierney was all over the action yesterday. He was brilliant. And then, you know, from getting sparked out coming off, blood all over the face to tipping the winner in, which was great. So look, it was a red card when you look at it, you know, particularly in slow motion. It's easy for us to watch it, but they're fine margins. But as we said, the game had everything, you know.
Yeah, I just think, I always think if you're going in with that kind of aggression, if you're any bit off, you're going to be in trouble, whether it's half a second or whatever. Like, but
yeah, I don't think there's any need for it really anymore, because even if Tierney, let's say, sidestepped them, like, you're completely out of the game then, you know. So I think you're just better off going in, certainly to get a bit of contact, but, you know, having your body position in a better, you're set in a better way to get a contact tackle on or something like that, and there's no need to go in for the big hits anymore.
Yeah, and Finian, going into extra time, 8 minutes of extra time, I remember turning to one of the lads behind me saying, geez, if Armagh get a score here, it'll be interesting how Galway cope, because obviously the Mayo game, they dominate for 60 minutes, nearly let it slip. The Roscommon game, they had it won after 60 minutes, nearly let it slip. And then the two goals, Nugent and Turbitt, and then Rian O'Neill's monster point. Like, from a Galway man there, you must have been just, I don't know where you were hiding, but it must have been awful. Like,
the blood pressure was through the roof. It's not sun kissed at all. It's red faces. Yeah, it was just, it was unbelievable. Really, it was kind of, you know, because, you know, we were texting people as moving into injury time. You know, looking forward, like talking about the semi final. I know you shouldn't count your chickens, but like, the Armagh supporters were leaving the stadium. You know, and I think for anyone in the stadium, it was, look, this is see out, you know, the inevitable here, that Galway will tuck in. They'll have three or four bodies in front of the goalie at all times, and it's just not give a goal. You know, I thought at one stage that Gleeson, maybe, you know, obviously experience is one thing, maybe should have tapped one over his own bar, you know, taking the own point and then reset with a kick out. But, you know, that's easy BYs after the event. But it was just madness, like long high balls into the square. And there were times where there were three Armagh people in the square, players in the square, and only two Galway. So they were really just going for it with the long ball. And Rian O'Neill's catch was unbelievable at that time, and the composure to put it across, even though Gleeson got it. It was just, yeah, like, like Pádraic will obviously be worried in that regard. We had Monaghan situation last year to put us down to Division 2 as well. Same thing. Mayo, you know, a shot away in a game we were in control of as well. So it's something that happens. I noticed we didn't make any subs until the 70th minute yesterday either, which maybe, you know, you'd think that, are we fully trusting of the bench? Yeah. You know, Derry might be a bit stronger in that department. So that's something they'll have to look at, you know, making sure that we're comfortable bringing guys on, because we're going to need that in the semi-final.
It was funny though, like Armagh didn't do anything special. It was just route run, you know, that you'd see in an under-14 game or in a club game, sort of desperation stuff, and they just went direct. And it caused chaos, basically. It was chaos for about 6 or 7 minutes, the way the game transpired like that. But yeah, absolutely. Galway should have seen it out better, and certainly the goalkeeper in terms of trying to fist it and stuff like that. I mean, like Stephen Cluxon, for a number of years, he was brilliant at just getting that 30-yard fist, you know, getting the ball away from the danger zone. It's something that they really have to work on starting from tonight, basically, to try and get ready for the semi-final. But Rian O'Neill's free was absolutely top class. I mean, it was the last kick of the game, everything on the line. And it went about 15 yards, 20 yards over the bar. You know, it didn't just scrape over the crossbar. It was a serious kick under a lot of pressure. And like, maybe if there was another minute or two there, Armagh could have actually snuck the win, because obviously they did have that momentum, you know, and Galway had mentally tuned out for those last 6 or 7 minutes. So, I suppose the row obviously developed, and then Galway were able to regroup. And I think that, you know, they looked the better team in extra time as well.
Yeah, and Finian, Barry mentioned it there, the chaos and the panic just looked like every time the ball went in, it looked like panic. But Shane Walsh got the ball, and you're thinking, this is the man you want on the ball. He's so cool, he's so calm, and he had the man one on one. And it's like, Shane, is he 28 now?
He's 28 or 29.
He's experienced now, and he's going for an outside the boot across the field. Like, I was a neutral watching, I was like, what's he doing? Like, he has all the pace, and he had legs still to go, and I was there. Draw the free, slow it down. Like,
he needs a bit of a Hollywood pass.
I
think it's unlike him, you know, because he is a very composed footballer. But like, you wouldn't see Kieran Kilkenny or maybe Sean O'Shea do something like that, you know. Yeah. They'd obviously, in terms of
but
game
he needs
management,
to make that decision making better if he is going to be at the next level.
We need a Conroy on the ball at that stage, because he, you know, Conroy's, you know, very experienced and is very cute at drawing the foul or whatever it is. But he did, Shane had one, was it a sideline as well, that just scraped past, I think it was Rian O'Neill. It was a cross field as well, outside of the right. And I think the commentator was, look, you know, what a pass by Shane Walsh. Yeah. But it was inches past the man. So he had tried it before, but to try it with the left at that stage, like, it's... It was dodgy territory.
Shane didn't have a brilliant game yesterday, you know, and you know, if you've been watching him probably back to 2014, like, he's an outstanding footballer and potential to be one of the best in the country. But, you know, doing it in the National League, doing it in the Connacht Championship is one thing. At the business end of the All-Ireland series, and obviously he hasn't had too many chances to demonstrate his skill set at that latter stage, but he did yesterday. And he didn't quite deliver. He'll be doubly determined, I'd say, to put things right for the semi-final, because he is an absolutely outstanding footballer and he's a key to Galway's success.
Oh, 100%. And like, it is a moment where you have to learn from. And I'm sure the next time he gets the ball in that position, it will be a case of use his strongest attribute, which is his speed and his strength. Take the ball, slow the game down. Mm. People are always pulling and drag at you at that time of the game when you're free. And I know we talked about Rian O'Neill's free there to equalise, and but even watching him throughout the game, similar to Shane Walsh, has all the talent. He has the look of a superstar, to be fair to him, and he has that spikiness about him that he could flake you as quick as lightning as well. But I was watching him a good bit yesterday. Even the way he carries himself, he has everything. Now, a bit of the Wayne Rooney, probably there's a bit of pulling him back at times, but he has this raw aggression around the place. I just think for the next couple of years, if he can channel it right, he'll go to the top of the game, because, geez, he has it all.
Yeah, he kicked a point in the first half. He had no right to win the ball. He'd got out in front. It was, I think Kieran Malloy was in front of him as well. He beat two men and just whipped it over the bar with his right foot. So he's aggressive. He doesn't let anything get in his way. But you know, if he can harbour everything that he has, that he showed yesterday, like that catch, I just thought, you know, at that point in the game, Sean Kelly was well positioned. It was just, you know,
it was like an Izzy Rails.
It was, yeah. And the balls were just flooding in, and they wanted him kicking the ball in, and they wanted him inside as well, you know. So,
carry on,
exactly. So, they need, you know, look, find a bit of balance. You know, Stephen Campbell was doing his best, but he was working, you know, I'm sure his legs are tired today. He was working back and he was carrying the ball from very, very deep, where they probably needed him more forward and Rian inside, you know what I mean, at times. And obviously, at the end of a match when you're losing, you're just lobbing the ball in. You know, I was expecting to see Niall Quinn in around the box at one stage. It was just, you know, route one.
And like that, but like we mentioned, it was chaos and it was panic. And then obviously, look, game over. Ball wasn't burst. Nearly did burst on the way into the tunnel. I don't know what you call it. A melee? A tussle?
Fracca.
Do you know, there's so many words for it. I don't know where to start with it. But I suppose we start with the red cards. Nugent and Kelly didn't make any sense to me. I couldn't see how you pick out the two boys. They looked as confused as anyone.
Yeah. There was obviously so many players involved, not just personnel in the starting team, but obviously subs and also guys that weren't even in the 26. But yeah, to single out those two guys was a little bit strange. It nearly felt like an arrangement was done between the referees and the managers and the two teams to, you know, for both teams to lose their captains, because when you look back on the footage, at those two guys in particular didn't do a huge amount. And I'd like to think that Sean Kelly would be able to appeal that, because, you know, if anything he was trying to break up fights and he didn't deserve to miss out on extra time. And he certainly doesn't deserve to miss out on an All-Ireland semi-final, in my view. But, you know, it was a dangerous situation. I mean, I think it's been spoken about yesterday and today that, you know, you have four dressing rooms in Croke Park, two on the Cusack side, two on the Hogan side. It makes complete sense that the teams who are competing against each other should be on opposite sides. That's one way of completely avoiding this from happening again. But it needs to be stamped out. And obviously, there was a couple of players there involved, seen from the Armagh side outside of their 26 panel, which they've absolutely no business being there.
You mentioned that. Like, why were they even there?
During my time at Dublin, we would have had a panel of 35, 40 players training every night. But obviously, you only have 26 on the match day, and it'd be 26 that would travel to the game, you know, tug out. The guys who are the extended panel members might meet up with us after the match and stuff like that, but we wouldn't have them around the setup on the actual day itself. But a couple of those guys, they obviously ran about 100 yards, you know, from where they were sitting in the Hogan stand to get over to the dugout in the Cusack and get involved.
I couldn't understand where they were going.
Yeah.
Like, why? Yeah. Like, genuinely, I was there watching, I said, who? Like, because the whole point of the reduced squad, the subs being off the pitch and into the stand now, the less numbers on the pitch is probably for these reasons that when things get heated, it's less people involved. Mm. But I couldn't understand, when I could see them coming over, I couldn't understand, I said, where are they going? Like, You don't want these guys in, like, no disrespect, you don't want them in the dressing room because they're no good to you at that time.
They're a bit of a distraction, if anything, you know. But the eye gouging incident was absolutely disgraceful. And, like, it was on Damon Comer, who's one of Galway's key players. If Comer had reacted with some sort of a punch or something like that, that a referee or a linesman saw, Comer would have been getting a red card and gone for the extra time and probably would have cost him the match. Whereas the guy who did it wasn't talked out, and there would have been no direct penalty for him on the particular day, you know, and that would have been, you know, a catastrophe in my view. So the GA really need to pin these guys down.
Be a good
down.
Tactic, Tim Finian. Bring in the additional panel there to start the fight.
Well, yeah, with the opposition best player.
Look, who knows? But it's, you know, Barry's right. It's if a supporter came on the pitch, because that guy was a glorified supporter. You know, because like, who's to say he's going to be in the panel for the next hour match? He may, you know, going an A versus B and be thrown off. He's the same as us going to the match and coming on. You know, poor old Mayo Mick got an awful doing for causing down in Tralee that day, or down in Limerick that day. You know what I mean? But look, he was a supporter. And
he had no right to come onto the pitch.
No right whatsoever to be on the pitch. Obviously, eye gouging is, you know, shouldn't be, like, that's absolutely scandalous. Like, do you know what I mean?
And
there's two sides to every story. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, there wasn't a bit of edge and a bit of whatever, but that goes on. Look, it was
it's happening too often, that gouging. And, like, in watching the footage, there's aggression in his face. Like, there's genuine aggression. It's not one of these, I didn't know what I was grabbing. He can see what he's doing. I'll be honest, next season, if he's on the Armagh, I'd be not suspended, gone. Mm. Punishment.
He needs a severe suspension in terms of not just time. You know, you can't just say he gets a 6-month ban, because what does that mean? Absolutely nothing, you know, because there needs to be a severe penalty there. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's been well documented this year. There's been a few different rows that have looked really bad, but a lot of players have got off, you know, by appealing things. And, you know, the GA definitely need to tidy up on that front to make sure that any penalties stick.
That's the argument going around. Oh, leave the disciplinary committee do their thing now, not trial by the media. And this isn't trial by the media, but we've all seen the disciplinary setup is a bit of a turkey shoot.
But there's too many loopholes in it.
Well, look at the hurling, like the three players, the two Clare lads and the Galway lad got off because of a technical. It was on Zoom or something, like, come on. Do you know? So look, they'll figure it out, and there's someone legal that can figure it out. So it needs to be overhauled, not just from yesterday, but a lot of it as well. You know, it didn't look great, but a lot of it was just handbags and pure.
Most it was handbags.
You know, I'm bigger than you and this sort of stuff. And you see that matches
wrestling and stuff.
It's pure nonsense. Like,
to be honest, I wouldn't mind if there was no suspensions, bar the bucko who did the eye gouging, and throw the book at him. Genuinely, like, people be on about personal stuff. Leave that out. I don't care about that stuff. Like, I don't want to see him in an Armagh jersey no time soon. Do you know what kind of way?
Yeah, well, there's two things with him. One, he shouldn't have been there. And two, the actual offence that he did. You know, we're 100%,
so
severe.
So, look, this will go on for weeks anyway.
I suppose,
it'll drag on.
You wouldn't think.
I just hope, I hope Kelly isn't suspended now for a semi-final. Look, obviously, we'd all have to watch the footage again and see what the story is. But as far as I could see, he wasn't doing much. And same with Nugent.
Sean Kelly's not that type of guy. He's very, very quiet, unassuming character. And you could see after, he was really animated about it. Like, there's worse lads for, you know, a bit of bravado in that Galway panel, and it's certainly not him, you know. So, and the Nugent guy, who I don't know, but I'm sure, you know,
I've never seen him stuck in too much, to be fair.
It just looked like there was too many people from outside, you know. Like, there was Aidan O'Shea that was on the ground in the Mayo match, and the linesman just stood there looking, which was fine, because it was just two boys going at it.
Yeah.
I know they have it in ice hockey or whatever it is, but, like, it's when all this furore, there was physios, there was strength and conditioning coaches, stats men in trying to pull up. Bart Joyce and Kieran Donnie were trying to pull lads off, you know. Yeah. So everyone was trying to fix it, but there was just a couple of lads who just couldn't get over it, you know.
There was just too many. And, like, we'd be all day talking about most lads that were in it shouldn't have been in it. Yeah. Shouldn't have been anywhere near it. So. Yeah.
And just one other thing as well, McCabe obviously got the red card. I think it's ridiculous that teams can go back to the full 15 when you move into extra time. You know, I think that needs to be changed. If you get a red card in the actual game, that penalty should stick.
Yeah, this whole thing, it's a new game.
Like, that is just complete rubbish. Again, you don't see that in other sports, you know?
No, it's a good point. And I suppose back to the action, because we had extra time as well after that. I want to give a mention to McDade. I just thought the goal was amazing. The speed of getting the ball from hand to foot and the control finish at a time when Galway needed someone to stand up, he was outstanding.
Yeah. Billy Mannion did really, really well. Mm. You know, he at that point in the game, he could have. He's a young guy. He's only in from Mount Belly. He wouldn't be the first name off your list in Galway on a 26 to come on. But he's, you know, Pádraic obviously has got time for him. But he could have slotted that over the bar and said, right, you know, we'll go to one down or go to level. But to have that vision to, you know, for a young guy who's coming on in one of his first games for Galway to say, right, let's go for the juggler here instead of just, you know, tipping it over the bar. And obviously Killian was, you know, he's a Rolls Royce. He's fit. He's so fit. He was up and down. His scoring has been brilliant this year. Midfield obviously suits him because he gets a bit more freedom in the park. But no, look, a phenomenal footballer.
And he timed the run lovely, didn't he? You know, and you said about freedom. Like, some guys just prefer to be midfield because midfielders don't generally mark each other that tightly.
You said they have a handy role. You're right.
Like, you know, they sort of give each other a bit of leeway, don't they? You know,
there's no tight mark, and you can kind of. One thing I always notice with midfield, you're watching the game. You're watching everything open up in front of you. You can pick your moments. And
you're reading the game and stuff.
If you have the intelligence. The only thing now for the two boys midfield, they're both getting earmarked for All-Stars. Once they don't get obsessed with being better than the other fella.
Because every
second person you'd say, they'd be like, oh, Conroy, definitely All-Star. And then it'd be McDade, definitely. So,
and they're both contributing to the scorelines as well, aren't they? Which is a bit unusual. Usually nowadays you have one fellow who's designated as defensive midfielder, the other guy is the more attacking one.
But the restarts now as well, we'll say the kickouts, they're not all, you know, the kickouts are all, like, you don't need to be 6'7", 6'6" to be out there because the kickouts are all short or whatever it is. So you can, no offence, Darren, but you could play midfield now.
Maybe.
You know, like get up and down the pitch.
You don't have to be 6'7", you'd be 5'7".
But like, you get up and down the pitch, you know what I mean? Like, it's that type of
player. A goalkeeper should be able to find you with a nice sort of trajectory of a delivery. Yeah.
So they're glorified running half backs now, really, that are playing midfield. That's what Killian McDade is, you know. Like, obviously, Paul then can play on the other end, just around the edge of that defensive shield, and he can pop scores where we're going to need him the next day because there's going to be bodies everywhere. So we're going to need to be shooting, you know, like Jeremy Connolly and Paul Flynn did back in 14 from distance. Like, if we need
McDade
to.
McDade hit a brilliant point from distance into Hill 16.
Yeah,
as well,
on the right side.
On the right hand side at the end to bring it to penalties.
Yeah.
That was a ridiculous
confidence
score,
high. His confidence is high.
Just and Conroy
a bit of bravery in taking that shot on as well because it was such
Conroy
a
Conroy got
time.
One from a similar area as well with a player on his boot.
Yeah.
And I was more or less directly behind it.
Conroy wasn't having a great game.
No.
And
no.
I'd say about 7 or 8 minutes to go in normal time, he won a turnover, won a free.
Yeah.
Then he scored a point and then he won a free in extra time as well.
Came good.
He came good when they needed
when
him.
When
Shane
him,
was kind of gone off and obviously Damien was in the wars, he was there, which is kind of testament to him as well. He pulled us over the line. Robert Finnerty was top class again
yesterday, four from
play. And everything he touched, he just, you know, he did the right thing.
He's a classy
you know?
Footballer.
His intelligence there as well. Like, he's not doing anything silly. It seems, it looks easy, to be fair. It's obviously not.
Yeah.
But, like, just the right decisions and classy footballer.
Yeah, and scoring, like, you need a forward. Like, he's fourth. He scored five. Like, he's
takes really the pressure off the other two.
Huge.
You know, Comer and Shane Welsh.
And then, I suppose, another final whistle. We're looking at penalties, and I tweeted I don't like penalties, and I said it in here, and you nearly ate me, the two of you. I'm not gone on penalties.
I'm not a fan of penalties, but I absolutely agree that the game should be finished on the day. Just been involved in a lot of drawn games before, and obviously just the whole calendar fixture congestion and stuff like that. I think when it finishes a draw, there's just a big anticlimax there. And again, you look at other sports, the game is finished on that particular day. I heard last night this on the game, they were all saying, you know, it should be on next weekend, full house in Croke Park. First of all, it wouldn't be a full house in Croke Park. Secondly, Croke Park is booked up next weekend. There's two All-Ireland hurling semi-finals Saturday and Sunday. But I think, you know, it should be finished on the day. And let's say if they did have a replay next weekend and that game finished a draw, is it going to go to the following weekend, which would impact the semi-final? So I think that just sort of definition around it's going to be won on the day creates a lot more excitement amongst the players and the management and stuff like that.
Well,
and the supporters.
I thought the Sunday game was a bit, you know, they're on about, I think Sean Kevin was saying, oh, it's a disgrace, I'm out. And I said, like, well, we all knew it was going to be finished on the day. I don't like penalties personally, but we knew it was going to be finished on the day. Like you said, you can't keep replaying, changing the calendar. Right, they might have to tweak it, but it was a disgrace that they're out. Well, it's not really. Look, they went hammering tongs at it. It came down to this. I don't like penalties. There has to, maybe there's some other route, but we all knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to finish on the day. We know the layout of the system of the season. Yeah. So I wouldn't be going as far as it's a disgrace that they're out.
Galway were brilliant at the penalties, weren't they?
Yeah,
they were four top-class players.
Yeah, top-class.
And I'd heard recently that they played, I think, Clare in a challenge match and had a couple of points during those challenge match. They actually broke up and did the whole penalty shootout routine, where players were walking up from the halfway line to take their penalties and stuff like that. So that seems to be a level that maybe other counties didn't go to.
Would you do it? Would you take it? Hand up?
Ah, yeah, would you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're great, brave boys now. No butters. I'd say I would. I'm crap at penalties. I scored one in Crow Park, but it was kicked it from my left foot off my right foot. Worst penalty ever.
It could be 45s. I know people 45s are saying
your
skills
hands,
of the
I
game. It'd be something like that. Yeah, that
could
be a
senior thing. Your skills challenge, lads.
Yeah, look, there's 20 other bodies.
I don't agree with penalty shooters because no one, as a player, you never.
Well, Stephen Campbell there, he played a lot of soccer. So do you just kind of ask around who's played soccer?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a conversation that should be taking place in the early round of the championship.
See, even with the, you know, you were there with the club or the county, whatever, before and after training, you'd be messing, taking penalties, and a couple of my club mates are like, next penalty, I'm definitely taking it. I'd be pinging them in there in training. And then the match, you win a penalty, and you're looking around, he has to tie his lace, then all of a sudden you're like, do you want, I know, I'm a lace. And,
it's a cruel way to finish.
It's a cruel way to finish. I don't know, is there another option?
I think 45.
45 would be harder. I'd rather take a penalty than out of your hands, maybe. Yeah.
Out of your hands. Because it's a Gaelic football skill, as opposed to soccer. Yeah. A penalty is being associated with soccer. And in hurling, they don't do penalties. They do 65s.
We could do the GA Skills Hours Challenge, but we'd be there for another couple of days.
They'd need the lads not togged to be coming in and take a penalty before me anyhow, that's for sure.
You'd run out of people.
Yeah. But it's there. Everyone knew. No one complained about it. You know what I mean?
No, it is there.
It's unfair. I don't want to hear this crack about yesterday. I don't think no one in Armagh could be saying it's unfair yesterday. Sure, Armagh voted to keep the Ulster Championship and the Provincial Championships. That's unfair. Penalties were there from the 1st of January. Everyone knew they were happening. So I agree with Barry. Finish it on the day because replays are anti-climax. Yeah, they're not good. And then the last 2 weeks we were talking about the cost of going to Dublin and all this stuff. Yeah. And now they want to go back again. We don't know we don't know what
know,
we want.
You know? And if there's a draw and a replay, people will be saying the GA want their 4 more
600 euros for that. 600 quid for a hotel.
There's a no-win situation there.
But finish it on the day. That game will not be forgotten. And if you had a replay and you had something else, might take the sting out of
it.
It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable match. It was great from a Galway person's point of view that we were on the winning side and we played well and we won a tight game, which we don't do in Crow Park. So, it was a phenomenal game.
Yeah, no, it was a great game. And it was a great finish. It had, we talked about it, had everything to the game. And the only unfortunate thing was, as a football fan or a Kerry fan, after we had to watch Kerry and Mayo. And it was just boring enough, to be fair. It was just plodding along.
It was
along.
A bit of a recipe for disaster, because you know yourself, playing in a big game, everything's teed up for a 4 o'clock throw-in. You know, your meal, your warm-up, getting to the physio, whatever it might be on that day. So having those two delays, one was the extra time delay and then the penalties, it just seemed very flat. And then you throw in, when it's raining in Croke Park, it tends to be a bit of a poor spectacle as well. But yeah, it didn't really catch fire at all. It took a long time for it to sort of energise. And so it was a lot of the Armagh crowd left Croke Park as well, so the stadium wasn't nearly as full. So not that it's going to bother Kerry, but it wasn't a game that you'll be remembering too fondly.
Is that a thing though, Darren, for in Kerry, after Kerry winning Munster Championship, they seem to be stale in quarterfinals. Is that because of the championship they come from and obviously 4 week delays? They always have a big break and obviously there's ABBs and stuff.
I would have always said Kerry can always get caught in the quarterfinal. I've always felt that. Whereas Dublin the last 10 or so years have had the same problem, but I would never
manage it well.
I'd never doubt that they get caught, I don't know, but we're on about condensed season. Kerry's season hasn't been condensed at all. No. They've hardly kicked the ball. They played a league final, which was a dead duck, and then they played two rounds of Munster that were strolls. And yesterday they looked rusty. There was obviously a few rumours going around before the game about Clifford being injured. I heard it before the game that he was struggling. I heard 2 nights ago that this injury he supposedly had was worse, and I hadn't heard any rumours, so I was like, oh, geez, what actually is it? And then I heard leading up to the game that he was supposedly out, so of course I tweeted it. I think I tweeted, rumour has it Clifford is out, and I got a rumour has it you're full of shit. Some fella tweeted me back, but he didn't look right. He didn't look right playing, and he took a knock early on, but like, he produces moments of magic. But Jack Barry, I think, got injured probably the night, the last training session, and so did Adrian Spillane. And they are two lads who I think will be big misses for Kerry if they're not back for the semi-final. Mm-hmm. Having said that, take Tom Sullivan out, the best player on the pitch was David Moran.
Yeah. Do you know? Jeez, it was great for David Moran's perspective heading into the Dublin match that he was able to get a start and actually to give that performance in Croke Park, because it's all and well good giving a guy a start in Croke Park in a knockout game that hasn't played in much football. You think you might get 40 minutes out of him, but Kerry got a huge amount out of him. I'm sure he'll be very tired and sore today and tomorrow, but
he'll
get over that. That'll bring him on so much, and absolutely Kerry will need him flying for the Dublin game in 2 weeks' time. So that was definitely a real bonus for Kerry yesterday.
Oh yeah, like they got 70 minutes out of him. I think he kicked 2 points.
Yeah.
And when Kerry were doing this short kick out, especially in the second half, and getting themselves into trouble, I always found that he was the only fella looking for the ball.
Mm.
Do you know? So if I was stuck with the ball, he was the one that was making himself available all the time. And like, that was invaluable to Kerry at the time, because I was looking around, there was no one else looking for it, whereas he was the one kind of doing it. And Paul Gain, I thought, was excellent yesterday. Yeah. And they're the two old dogs in the Kerry team. Mm. And like, there was decent performances all over. Obviously, Tom Sullivan was outstanding. But they were the two boys who stood up consistently throughout the game. Paul Gainey kicked some great scores, but even just winning ball, running hard for ball, thought he was excellent.
Yeah, Paul Gainey must love playing with David Moran, because he knows it's coming in. Do you know what I mean? Or he knows it's going to be moved a bit quicker. Jack Barry is more of a runner, more of a workhorse, do you know, that kind of way. So, like, I'd say the inside forwards, they love playing with Dave Moran, particularly in Croke Park, because his range of passing is so good outside of the boot, you know, inside of the boot or whatever it is. So it's going through the line, so they can start making their moves early. So they look a bit more fluid inside once he's on the pitch. So it'll be an interesting one for the Dublin game, how they go. You know, they'll want David Moran, definitely, I think, should be playing, giving them that range of passing or whatever it is, you know, because Dublin will have bodies back, and maybe if you have runners, it mightn't suit as much as moving the ball quicker.
Yeah, well, I think with David as well, now he has that experience, and I think he's probably learnt over the last year or two that he can just sit back. He doesn't have to be up and down. He can sit back, dictate the pace of the game. But I suppose going back to the actual Kerry Mayo game, Mayo started okay, and Aidan O'Shea kicked a great score, the outside of the boot. And I turned to Andy Moran, and I was there going, why doesn't he do this more often? Like, he has it in the locker, and it was the first time I've seen him actually take that shot on in a long time. It was a great score, and they started okay.
I mean, look,
Mullen was doing well, and Clifford, who was obviously injured, but
They looked like the better team. I mean, I always got a sense of inevitability about the game myself. I felt that Kerry would push on at some stage once they got that sort of rustiness out of their system, but I mean, from Mayo's perspective, this whole thing about their forwards, I mean, we've been talking about it for a good few years at this stage. Now, granted, they're missing Tommy Conroy and Ryan O'Donoghue, and I just felt that once Ryan O'Donoghue wasn't going to be playing, that their chances of actually getting the win yesterday was vastly reduced. They need that firepower up there, because you just can't rely on the running game from the halfbacks for an entire match when you get to the business end of the season. You know, you need to be able to mix it up by going direct and letting good ball into their forwards. And their forwards just aren't up to the standards, unfortunately. There's a couple of young guys there. Maybe in 2 or 3 years' time, they'll come good, but they're just not at the level to win an All-Ireland.
Look, they had a lot of wides yesterday. I think there was 9 in the second half. And but we always say it, the forwards aren't good enough. Paddy Durkin definitely had 3 or 4 wides yesterday.
Well, there was some into the goalkeeper's hands as well.
Yeah,
which is,
and
even
I'm
worse.
There going, like, it tends to be, Mayo percentage was 40%, whatever it was. But a lot of that percentage is the backs coming up the field and shooting from 40 yards. And these are great players, great defenders. But I'm there, if I'm a wing forward, corner forward, and I've had 3 or 4 wides, I'm getting whipped off. And we talked about it there with the Galway lads with midfield. You're actually facing the play. You can actually pick your moments. You shouldn't be kicking 3 and 4 shots. What you shouldn't be having 4 and 5 shots a game.
No,
if you're not going to be getting 3 or 4 of them off. Do you know? And I always feel for some of the Mayo forwards. They're going, by the time they actually get the ball, whether they're good enough or not,
yeah, Give them a chance.
Yeah, there's six, let's say there's six Mayo forwards in the 45. That means there's six Kerry backs. Probably a couple of midfielders, a few of the Mayo wing backs are up there as well, and Kerry forwards. You could have 20 players inside the 45. So if I'm a Mayo forward, I'm getting it with my back to goal. I have to beat my man. You're only throwing a leg at it if you're getting that shot off at all. Whereas, like, we're saying it, Fred, that running game doesn't work against the better teams. You're like a wing back who's kicking 3 points in the Connacht Championship, and maybe he's more likely to concede three points against a Kerry or Dublin than he is to score it.
Yeah.
And I always feel like the Mayo forwards aren't good enough. But if you name them out, Keelan O'Connor, Dermot O'Connor, Ryan O'Donoghue, Conroy next year, that's four very good forwards.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Troy and Shea top of the square
and you don't need six going forward.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
and I'm there going, kick it into them.
Yeah.
See what they can do. And that's my argument all the time. And that's why I'm so frustrated this year at Mayo. Now I'm delighted they got beat the weekend, obviously. But like, it's coming down to, look, they had nine. No, some of the forwards obviously did get them wide. And they're going, kick it into them. Give them a chance.
Yeah.
This style of play was never going to work. You could even see the way Kerry set up. Tadhg Morley was good yesterday in terms of just controlling. Or he didn't stop talking, organising the boys around him, and he cut off a pile of ball. If Tom Sullivan went up the field, he just dropped back. And like, Mayo style made it easy for Kerry. Like, 13 points. Like, Kerry were poor yesterday.
Yeah.
They scored 118, playing poorly, with a 50% fit David Clifford up there. Shawnee was in and out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, you could probably name three or four Kerry players: Paul Ganey, David Moore, and Tom Sullivan, Tadhg Morley, who were, you know, that Mayo team was, like you said, there was a level of inevitability about it. And it was just disappointing. Like, we talk about the injuries and whatever, but I was watching backs running up the field, getting to a point. Kerry had just sat back, held their position, and then Mayo were shooting under pressure. Some of the shots were dropping short and they were bad, but it was just frustrating to watch. You could see it. You could see it coming a mile away.
Yeah, a lot of it is homework as well, though. Kerry have their homework done defensively this year, I'd say. You know,
they have.
I suppose it's easy for us to say they drop back, but they're putting Mayo into pockets of the pitch that they want them to be, so they can set up their defensive system. They're bringing them down the sidelines, you know, letting them solo into positions where, you know, Mayo will look like they've got space, but they'll end up stuck in a rut of, you know, Thomas Sullivan, Tadhg Morley wrapping them up. And like, obviously, you know, their coaching has brought on their defence. 13 points, you know, regardless of who it's against, and Mayo are a top team, is very, very good. I think they'd be very happy with their defensive play. And Mayo didn't have a lot of easy shots. But just going back to the Mayo forward line, like, Matty Ruan got a ball, you know, round his man, you know, chip it over the bar. Like, Paul Ganey got one, and the minute he went round his man, commentators saying it's a score. Whereas, you know, Dean Rock got a free on the right hand side, Killian O'Connor got a free on the right hand side, missed. You know, to win these big games, you need to have that with ease, and that's just forward play. And if Ryan O'Donoghue comes back and Tommy Conroy, Mayo are a different team, because every ball that goes in sticks, because look, who knows what's going to happen with Mayo? You know, is the management going to stay on? Changes could happen. But look, they've had a poor season this year. You know, since the league final, it's all kind of gone a bit pear-shaped. They've had injuries, and James Horn was on about, you know, the pitch and all that sort of stuff. So look,
what was on with the pitch? Or to Mikhail Parr?
Well, they didn't have it for a lot of the year. Do you know, that kind of way? So.
Look, Mayo will probably always be thereabouts. You know, like, they're a football mad county. You know, they had a good win.
It isn't good enough, I know that.
I think a new change of management will take place over the winter, and I think if you get Conroy back or Donoghue back in a couple, like, they did blood a lot of players in the last 18 months,
but it was the same style of football.
But they'll have to change that. The new manager will come in to change
and just
that.
Back to Kerry, you mentioned the defence, Paddy Talley, and I suppose Jack has to take credit for bringing him in. And I think it's one goal conceded in 14 games this year. Yeah. They have been secure. Now, I still think they have a bit of work on with their kickouts. Thought the kickouts, yes, I always call it the lazy kickout, the little dink 15 yards to the cornerback of the football. Got him in trouble a few times yesterday, and maybe against a more ruthless team. Definitely against Dublin, you'll get punished. So they definitely have a lot to work on going into the semi-final.
That little kick out from the goalkeeper, it's a dangerous kick, and I saw Gleeson did one there yesterday. It was a bit of a dribbly one to his corner back, and all of a sudden there was three Armagh lads pouncing around him, and he can't give it back to the goalkeeper, you know, because it'll be a free in.
He doesn't want to give that kick either, though. He 80% of Gleeson's kick yesterday were 60-70 yards, you know, that kind of way. So it's just not, he's not that type of goalie.
But that will be fascinating the next day, the fact that, you know, Kerry seemed to be a lot more better set up defensively from a structural point of view, and also personnel against this Dublin forward line, who I know they didn't even create a goal chance at the weekend, but we saw what they could do against Kildare in those first 25 minutes. But I think from Kerry's perspective, I thought it was quite a sort of mature performance out of them, that they never really panicked. You know, they were probably in third gear. There was probably another level that they could go to, no problem, if they needed to. They were a bit rusty from that perspective, but they were still, in general, doing the right things. I know they ran into a couple of cul-de-sacs and stuff, which you absolutely can't do against Dublin, running into tackles. But in general, I never felt that they were in any real danger, in my view. And they saw out the game, you know, well by chipping over points in the last 10 or 20 minutes. Didn't go for goals or didn't panic or anything like that. So,
and like, I suppose just finish on the Kerry Mayo game. Just mentioned to Tom Sullivan, like, the last couple of years he's become Kerry's go-to marker, and before that he was our go-to attacker. And yesterday it was Martin Killian, who, look, is obviously trying to get back to full fitness, and he had a long layoff and he's around a long time. But geez, Tom went up the field in the first half, kicked one outside the boot. If Clifford had done it, you'd be saying, geez, well, this is your corner, this is your man marking corner back. I think it was Eamon McGee actually had up on Twitter about who could play anywhere in the field, what GA player can do it. Like, throw Tom Sullivan number 15 the next day, he'll do a job for you as well. But no, he was excellent. Yes, he looked back to his old self there. Energy levels were good. He marked Killian O'Connor, I think, conceded one from play in the first half, whatever. So,
and Kerry have a stronger bench this year
than
previous years, particularly if they got
if they get the injuries back. Like that, there's a few injuries now. Everyone seems to be getting it this year. But look, they're on to the next game, 2 weeks' time. So the game hopefully will bring them on, because they did look rusty, but look, they did what they had to do. It was a professional performance. And I suppose on the Saturday, we had Derry and Clare, and probably going to start by saying, I'm not tweeting predictions anymore.
Someone needs to take your phone off.
Yeah, I don't know. I got carried away myself. I genuinely thought, two of you start laughing again. I was there as two Division 2 teams. Yes, Derry have been outstanding this year, won a great Ulster Championship, but I felt going into it, them games are underdogs. Oh, the world's against us. Now they're red hot favourites. But then listen to Shane McGuigan's interview after the game. He was there. I thought a lot of the press going into the game was negative about us. And I was, what did anyone say negative about him? And I think the question was raised is, will their style suit Croke Park?
Yeah.
But they have this way of going, everyone's against us. So they obviously came in with that mindset. I thought they might get a bit lax, but it showed a great professionalism. They came out and they were ruthless. So I'm definitely not ever going against them. But I was told by quite a few, actually, you owe Derry an apology. I was there. Wouldn't go that far.
Derry are a serious outfit, absolutely. And they are a real live contender for the All-Ireland. Absolutely. Yeah. The way the things have fallen the last few weeks with everyone, and maybe Dublin not quite firing, or maybe Kerry not quite firing. There's absolutely an All-Ireland there for Derry. Watching them there at the weekend.
See Finian biting his lips. How do you mean?
Watching them there at the weekend, like, they've just, the conditioning within the group is absolutely phenomenal. You could see they're relentless with their running. And even I was watching the warm up on Saturday, and you had a couple of players on one side of the pitch and Hogan Stand, and two over in the Cusick, and Rory Gallagher in the middle. And the two players were just bombing it for, like, flat out sprint for 80, 90 yards, giving a 1-2 with Rory and getting it back. And he did that for about 10 minutes. And that was their game plan. You know, they have the defensive structure, and when you win the ball back, there's a license for players to bomb up the pitch. Very, very similar to Donegal 2011, 2012. But they are here to stay, absolutely. And, you know, Galway need to be concerned about them, in my view.
Just on that, you know, you just said they're here to stay, and then you compared them to Donegal. Is the style
sustainable?
Yeah, is it let's get in there for 3 or 4 years,
three or 4 years.
When you mentioned, then you mentioned Donegal, because it is such high energy, it is hard work. But like that Conor Glasser on the middle, there he got two goals in quick succession with Conor Glass on one of them, and GC was outstanding yesterday.
Oh yeah, they're they've really, really good players. But I suppose if you can get, like, we've seen over the last 10 years, we've seen a lot of teams try defensive setups and, you know, bring bodies back or whatever. But you need to get 30 lads to buy into this for however long, you know, this intensity, the intensity of everyone gets back. So it's enlarging a basketball court. Everyone is back inside the 45. There's no room.
Like, they know their role.
Clare had no room to get a shot off, and Galway won't have any room either. So we're going to need to bring something a bit different, you know, maybe a change in personnel, a bit more pace out around the D to win frees or whatever it is. You know, we're going to need to be on song from long range kicking and all that.
Yeah. But
like, everyone back. And once they turn over the ball, someone gets on the ball, you know, Rogers or someone gets on the ball and saunters up the pitch, and everyone else goes into the opposite part of the court and sets up in there. So physically very, very demanding. Do you know what I mean? But if you get lads buy in, like, these lads are absolutely psyched. They're so tunnel vision. I would say Rory Gallagher has them. The warm up is akin to what Donegal used to do in the, I remember watching the 2012 All-Ireland warm up. It was just bombing and McGuinness stuck in the middle, and Rory, you know, Gallagher stuck in the middle of it. Just real psyched intensity, and I'd say nobody is getting in the way of their preparation. There isn't a blot of you know, family, friends. Everything is out the window in Derry at the minute.
And
that's why they're dangerous. That's why, like, you get players to buy in for that long. You know, they're definitely capable of winning the All-Ireland, and Galway are going to have to be big time on guard.
And they've got that win in Croke Park as well. Just a little thing, you know, to have a knockout game, All-Ireland quarter-final, very good win. And, like, you know, I'm sure there was, you know, great atmosphere, buzz on, back in the dressing room on the bus heading home. And, like, they're just dying to get back to Croke Park again in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, well, like that, I suppose, like we said there, McGuigan was saying, people were questioning whether their style would suit Croke Park. Players love Croke Park, especially if you have legs.
Yeah,
but like, I suppose from a clear point of view, it was a disappointing performance. I expected more from him, to be honest. I don't know, was it stage fright? Maybe it was just the intensity out of Derry that they just weren't expecting. But it took him 15 minutes to get a score on the board, and bar the last couple of minutes of the first half, it was just all Derry.
Yeah, look, on paper it was obviously two teams coming against each other, but I just think the trajectory that Derry had gone on over the last 2-3 months, beating three Division One teams in a very competitive Ulster Championship and having that bounce that you get from winning your first provincial title, you know, getting that first provincial medal under your belt, doesn't matter who you are, it still gives you an extra bit of sort of energy and oxygen for the rest of the Championship. And, you know, I think obviously Derry got the start that Clare needed. You know, they got those couple of early goals, and as soon as the second goal went in, it was pretty much game over. But Derry were relentless. You know, they've got 5 goals there at the weekend on Saturday. They got 6 goals in the 3 Ulster Championship matches. That's 11 goals from a defensive team. It's fair going.
Yeah, and like
McGuigan is top class as well.
Like, you've McGuigan, McKinless and Glass, and they're consistently performing. You're kind of going, oh, like, we were on Galway earlier in the year, and you need Conroy, Comer and Shane Walsh. These three boys are doing it, and like, it's a 1-7 from play, 1-8 in total yesterday from McGuigan.
Do you know,
it's fair going, like, and he was playing a bit further out from goal as well the last day.
But then you've got Rogers coming from full back, like, tearing up the pitch, you know, and
McCaig the odd time as well,
like, they're all able to play, and it doesn't really matter. I think positions, you know, are gone out the window. When you've got bodies back, once you turn the ball over, I'd say whoever's at the top of that defensive shield just takes off and gets up front, and you've got one or two that you want up there, but they're happy enough, whoever's up there, you know.
Yeah, no, look, I genuinely thought, how would they cope to being the favourites in a game? And I thought, you know, with their game being so all action out there, sometimes you can let it slacken off a small bit, but look, they obviously proved me well wrong. We know they're a very good team, but I thought, you know, when they're ready for favourites, would they kind of take it down a gear or two? But they didn't. So like you said, Gallagher obviously had some well primed. They look like nothing else matters in the world, only getting on that pitch and performing. And it'll be interesting in 2 weeks time against Galway, if they don't get goals early, how they react. Like, they don't score a whole pile of points. They do get a lot of goals. If they're frustrated early, now, to be fair, the way Galway are defending, they might concede a lot of goals. But if they don't score goals early, it'd be interesting to see how they react to that.
Because even, again, you would have seen Rory Gallagher's reaction when they got the first goal. Yeah. I mean, the whole team, management team, group, they really feed off those goals. Yeah. It's nearly worth more than 3 points for them because the momentum they come with it. But, like, you know, when a Northern team you know, gets on a run like this and momentum and comes into Croke Park, we've all been on the receiving end of it. They have a chip on their shoulder and like they're absolutely taking no prisoners. And they now probably believe that there's an All-Ireland there for the taking if they get things right. But certainly Galway will need to tidy up a lot. Like even the third goal that they conceded yesterday. Yeah. I mean, that big, long, high ball. I counted about six Galway players in the shot within where that ball bounced, and certainly three of them were arms length away from it, and no one got a hand on that ball. I mean, you don't see that at intercounty level, a big ball bouncing in your penalty area. So someone just needs to take responsibility. Now Sean Kelly was off the pitch, so that probably would have been his ball. So I think it's a big thing for Galway to get him his red card.
Or just get a fist to it or whatever it is, because
they'll need him against McGuigan the next day.
There's a lot of ball players in that back line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Jack Lynn, they're all kind of ball players. So they kind of look to catch the ball at all stages because that's their footballers. Yeah. Whereas, you know, like.
They're not dogs.
You know, you'd want someone just come and just get it out of that danger zone. Even if it bounces outside, you kick a point or whatever it is. Just that's something they'll be working on, I'm sure. And look, we can learn loads from yesterday. It wasn't perfect from Galway by any means, and obviously everyone's going to be hyping Derry up as well because of their performance. So I think, you know, we can be quite confident going into the game, but
there's scope for improvement for Galway. Definitely is.
Yeah, and I suppose the other issue just on Derry, that, you know, it comes with a warning as well, because when Derry meets Derry, we could be back to the days of, you know, 5-6, 6-7 or whatever it is, because and there is another Derry out there, there's another Derry coming, and Galway have shown a defensive side before, so I hope that we don't get two teams setting up inside their 45s because we're going to have to mirror them at some because we don't.
When you're at a stage now, it's not about how good a game it is, semi-finals, we'll get into the final
100%. Do you know, there to be won.
Yeah. I think both teams will sacrifice a bit of flair to get to the final.
Yeah.
Because sure, they're not in the final.
They lost a lot of classical Ireland semi-finals down
through
the years.
Didn't lose as many as we did. So.
the main one we won was 8-6 against Donegal in 2011. It doesn't matter how you do it.
There's a lot of talk about fisted points, and there was a good few the weekend. Are you for them or against them?
I used to be a lot more for them, and I was probably guilty of taking a few of them myself. I've moved on from that a little bit and I'm sort of in a thought process now whereby if there's any bit of a goal chance, just go for it. Yeah, it really is. Circumstances depend. I mean, if you're 3 points up heading into injury time, maybe you should fist it over the bar to try and see out the win in case you go for a goal and save and the other team goes down the other end. But in general, my view would be, go for the goal.
Yeah, I'd be like that. No, unless you're coming in from an angle. Sometimes some of the points you'd see fellas getting from an angle, they're brilliant punch points, but I think there's a goal on. It has to be go for a goal. I see some people, they'd be going mad about them, and they'd be going mad about the fist passing and hand passing. But when hand passing is done right and slick and everyone's moving, it's brilliant.
Well, look at Kieran Kilkenny. Like, he's turned it into an absolute art himself. Like, it's always perfect. Like, and these big 20, 30 yard, like, Kieran Kilkenny hand passes a lot of ball into the full forward line.
Yeah.
I'd say the inside forward is loaded. It just comes at a perfect pace or whatever it is. This big fist.
Galway's first goal on yesterday was two really good hand passes. It was on the Tierney that ended up with Heaney putting it in the net. That wasn't straightforward, you know. It was two slick hand passes that created that goal for them.
I think the fist to point will come out of the game. I think it's something that will change. It's just there, and it's probably annoying people a bit. You hear people on about it all the time. They're just trying to make the game more exciting. They want to see goals. So I think it's something, it'll be like the fist to goal that was back in the 80s. Yeah. I think it's probably time now to move away from it.
And you mentioned Kieran Kilkenny, probably good time to go on to Dublin Cork, another. That was a poor game. It was not a boring game, but Kieran Kilkenny was probably the standout for Dublin in terms of level of consistency. Again, got 3 from play.
Yeah.
As much as any the rest of the Dublin forwards put together, I suppose. But like that, it was like that, an air of inevitability.
Yeah.
And I think it's 13 All-Ireland semi-finals in a row for Dublin, which
is
unbelievable, to be fair. That level of consistency is frightening.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Mick Fitzsimons and probably James McCarthy are there since 2010. So, getting to the latter stages of the championship like that is a phenomenal level of, I suppose, sustainable quality. Obviously, James wasn't there at the weekend, but I think with Dublin, it was a little bit of sort of business as usual, playing in second gear. as you said, around inevitability. I was at the game itself. It was a bit dead, to be honest, and a bit flat. Cork did okay, similar enough to the Kerry game a few weeks ago, and that they made it competitive. There was only 3 points in it at half time. But once Dublin, you know, up the gears for 15 minutes, I think they got 6 or 7 points in a row. Brian Fenton came into it at that point, kicked a couple of lovely points. Along with Kenny, probably Niall Scully was full of running and got on a lot of good ball. But I don't think Dublin probably learned a huge amount from it. What I would say is that from where I was sitting in the stand, the two Cork inside forward, Turley and Sherlock, they looked quite dangerous, mm-hmm. and they might have had the beating of the Dublin defence, the full back line in that area. And that's something that they maybe need to look at. I don't think they had that defensive cover in place for as much of the game as they would have liked from Johnny Cooper. Now, things will obviously change a lot when you put James McCarthy and Conor Callaghan back into the team. We're not too sure of the extent of the injuries. Hopefully it was something that wasn't too bad of an injury that they felt they'd get over the weekend with a view to the Kerry game, but they will need them back. But they're probably in a similar position to Kerry. Mm. Two of them got through the provincial championships very easily. They're going to be undercooked going into a quarterfinal. Didn't really matter. Gave a bit of a rusty flat performance, but you know, both teams are going to go into fifth gear for 2 weeks' time. And can you imagine the level of intensity that's going to be up in training from tonight or tomorrow night onwards? You know,
but just the excitement getting to Croke Park for a Kerry Dublin game, it's just it's different. But Finian, would you be worried from a Dublin point of view? You take Conor Callaghan out, and the forward, I know they kicked 21 points, it sounds, or they didn't function properly, but I think 8 or 9 of them were from Dean Rock Freeze and a Mark. But you take him out, and it's like the rest of them just don't function as well. And it's a good sign of a great player. He actually makes everyone around him better, but they don't function the same without him.
I wouldn't be overly worried, Darren, to be honest. I think they're so systematic. They, you know, they always end up, like, we go back to Mayo and we look at the shot range and where they take the shots from. Dublin will find themselves into the 21, you know, and most of their players can kick from there. So obviously they have that focal point where they're kicking it in long and they need to win, you know, get the ball to stick. And Conn is, there's no one better in the country than Conn O'Callaghan at it. So I wouldn't be overly worried. You know, their system is so good, and when they get into the attacking third of the field, they're well able to create scores. Like Dean Rock could kick 4 or 5 and play the next day without doing much. You know, he could just end up on the last ball because everything's so pre-planned. When they get to a defensive shield, which Kerry will have, and Tadhg Morley, their inside forwards will vacate the D. They'll come out to the sidelines, come back out around and leave that space inside for Kilkenny and Scully to come into the middle. So, look, he's a huge loss. He's an absolutely, you know, class footballer. He's up there with the best in the country. But I still think I give Dublin a right good chance in this one. I think there's a lot.
Well, they have a chance.
Yeah.
Like, one in a million.
Like, no, but there's so much talk about Kerry. Yeah. There's so much talk about Kerry. And I know Dublin's bench is a bit weaker this year. Mm-hmm. You know, the subs aren't coming on and shooting the lights out. But look, they just know their system so well.
I think Dublin's forward line, they're still the best in the country in terms of decision making, you know, and on the ball. Because if you looked at the Meath game, they turned down a lot of goal scoring opportunities in that game and decided to chip it over the bar. And I think they scored like 18 points out of 19 shots, like ridiculous level.
The first half.
Then the opposite happened against Kildare. They obviously decided, we're going to go for goals today, and they get 5 goals in the first 25 minutes. It was strange on Saturday because I don't think either goalkeeper, Evan Comerford or Michael Marin, had any saves to make. But I think the Conn thing, he absolutely is essential, and to win the All-Ireland they'll need him operating in the team and at a high level. But I think he wasn't overly missed at the weekend, and that the team were comfortable enough knowing that we're going to win this game without needing goals, and they just got through it. They won't learn a huge amount from it, but you know, all eyes obviously on Kerry.
Yeah, I suppose from a Cork point of view, they put up a brave fight. It was, you know, I think they had 13 wides, which is an awful lot. Look, I don't think anybody expected them to beat Dublin, but obviously the 13 wides, you're not going to have much hope. But look,
they have improved.
It's positive from a Cork point. I know it was 11 point defeat, and maybe a few of them wides, and it's a bit more respectable or whatever. Like, but I think they'll go away from the season. Look, they got to the last 8 against all odds. They're back in Division 2 next year. It's about kicking on, and they have found a couple of players there as well. So.
Yeah, like there was a lot of doom and gloom around that group 3 months ago, and you know, it looked like at one point they were going to Division 3 and would be in the Talton Cup. But I think, you know, the fact that they've beaten a couple of teams who are going to be up in Division 2, Limerick and Louth in the Championship, they got five games under their belt this year and they're a lot more developed. It was a messy year for them. You had the whole Porky Rin thing.
Yeah.
You obviously had to change a manager as well only a few weeks ago. But, I mean, Powter was brilliant there on Saturday. He was excellent, you know, a very good player. And they do... They keep him injury free. Yeah, keep him injury free. And, you know, I think that when they go back training... whether it's strength and conditioning work in October or on the pitch maybe in November, there'll be a lot more of renewed sort of optimism for them heading into the National League in 2023. And they'll be obviously looking to push it well on that next year because you have Dublin in it, you have Meath in it, you have Derry in it, Kildare in it. It's a lot of good
doesn't
teams.
Doesn't get any easier.
You know, doesn't get any easier. Yeah,
it'll be strong.
It's very strong next year.
But their targets aren't as high, you know, shouldn't be...
Bit of progress.
You know, a bit of progress. They might be in Division 2, they mightn't win it, but, you know, the targets have to stay within the plan now. Yeah, you know, it's
realistic.
Not a case of jumping ahead saying, look at Derry. And I know everyone's saying, geez, look at Derry, but, you know, it's very hard to do what Derry are doing. Do you know what I mean?
You're only building Derry up now with your staff.
look at Derry. You're all Ireland finalists.
It brings it on nicely to a bit of a predictions for 2 weeks' time. It's Galway, Derry, Kerry, Dublin. So if I was... What if you look at me? If you don't know what I'm going to ask you.
I'm going to go to the Dublin Derry final, a repeat of 93. Or not 93, that was 93 semi-final. I just think with Derry, the momentum's there. I think the game at the weekend was fortunate for them because they were operated at such a high level in Ulster for three games. They could come down a notch or two. And then obviously, ideally from their perspective, try and peak again in 2 weeks' time. Against Galway, I think it will be tight. And obviously, there was the league game there a few weeks ago. Galway got four goals on them in the first half up in Derry. It'll be interesting because Rory Gallagher and Pádraig Joyce know each other very well.
Yeah.
They've worked together and played against each other for a number of years. But I just think that Derry's running ability and that relentless sort of drive that they have at the moment will get them over the line against Galway. With Dublin. I think it's going to be very, very tight. The one thing I'd say with Kerry that I'm not fully convinced is they definitely have a better defensive system in place, but I'm not sure that they have six out-and-out defenders there who'd love to defend or are happy to be dogs of a defender, the likes of a Mick Fitzsimons or a John Small or whoever. And Dublin, even though they've had so many retirements the last couple of years, they still have seven or eight brilliant forwards there who all can do damage. So you limit Kieran Kenny a little bit or you limit Costlow a little bit, there's still plenty of lads there. But I think Derry by a couple of points and maybe Dublin by a couple of points at the moment is my view. But it's going to be very tight. It'll be a great weekend. Great weekend.
Myself and Finian Bulk in new daggers. Go on, Finian.
I don't know. I think I think Dublin have a really good chance. No, like, look, look, I suppose there isn't much rhyme nor reason to this. It's just that Dublin are going to be underdogs in this game. They will be.
Unusual for
Dublin, and that's a dangerous place for anyone who's playing against them because they'll go in with no fear. You know, like, will they try and do something? Like, Dublin Kerry games are funny. Something always comes from left field. Like, will they put Kilkenny back into full forward maybe for, you know, maybe test the long ball because, you know, he can obviously play in there. He was there for a full year a couple of years back. Absolutely brilliant. So I think Dublin, they know Croke Park, they know the system. I think they'll figure it out and I think they'll bring this relentless pressure because they're still sore after last year getting caught and it doesn't matter who they're playing. I do think that Dublin will win by a couple of points.
It's a big match for Desi Farrell, you know, three years into his campaign. Won the All-Ireland the first year, beating Mayo, lost last year to Mayo, now playing Kerry. You know, it's a big game.
You're giving your man an out there to distract him from calling the Derry and
Galway. I'm waiting for that one. Yeah. Just give it a few more seconds.
Penalties. No, look, you know, so Dublin, you know, like, it's going to be tight. Both games are going to be tight. I'm going to stick with Galway. Because I just think, you know, when it came to... We'll go back 10 years to Donegal, you know, the first year they had to figure it out and to keep that pressure. They had to go into another year of training or whatever to really get over the line. They had to evolve a little bit. Now, Derry are further ahead than Donegal were in 2011, I would think, in their attack and play. And they're very good players. I just think, again, you know, Galway will be underdogs going in as well. And look, Shane didn't play well the last day. Paul didn't play well the last day. got over the line. You know, there's more in Damien.
Three soft goals as well. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, so yeah. We've loads to tidy up on. Yeah. I think we'll be back into double sweeper territory again.
Yeah.
You know, it mightn't be the best of games. It'll probably be a dire affair, if I'm honest. I think both teams are going to be sucking each other in and playing on the counter. But going to give our lads yesterday was huge for our boys. To win a tight game in Cope Park was probably the biggest win. We beat Kerry in a kind of a dire enough game, but we got bet in the Super 8s, then hammered in Pier Stadium by Monaghan before we played Dublin in the semi-final in 18. So we went into that semi-final on a bit of a downer, whereas yesterday, just the way it happened, it's monumental for Galway, because we're in bonus territory as well, because we're not in semi-finals every year. So
I think it's good for the GAA having Galway in the latter stages of the championship as well, because when you look at Meath and Kildare and Cork, three traditional counties that aren't competing for All-Ireland and haven't been for a number of years, I think the GAA needs the likes of Galway in the All-Ireland football series going well.
Derry obviously been back in Croke Park, Armagh, with the colour they brought and the
bit of freshness.
Yeah, it was like being there yesterday was unbelievable, to be fair. I know the second game was boring, whatever, but being there for the first game and being a neutral able to actually watch it and enjoy it, it was amazing. Like,
and we need, look, Galway need this, because there's a lot not right in Galway with regards to coaching and facilities and everything. It's quite poor, like, to be honest. And to get that drive and get that interest and get money in and all that sort of stuff and get kids playing, we're in the minor final as well. I don't know how that's happened. We've lost twice to Mayo and Leitrim this year, and we're in the minor final now against Mayo again, you know. So it's positive. Yeah. After the league final, you would have thought you would never have backed us to be in a semi-final and our minors to actually be in the final as well. So we need to be where we are, but we need to build on it, you know, next year. But we're in bonus territory, and if we win, it'll be absolutely huge.
To be fair, they are two hard games to call, and like in terms of Kerry and Dublin, like, I think Kerry have set up defensively well, and depending on how Jack Barry and Adrian Splann are, it's hard to call the Kerry midfield and attack and take the midfield out of it. I still don't think Kerry know their best six forwards, and that's a worry going into this game. But look, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I keep my predictions to myself for another while. But big thanks to Barry and Finian for joining me here today. And we'll be back next week to preview the semi-finals, where I might give a prediction, and the Tailteann Cup final.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gowan, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer, but I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Kieran McCall, it's high, it's over! Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think of that?